worst things that ever happened.
Yeah. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras Lashon class learning. So we are Mamish Erev Chanukah, the Yom Tov of Or and Light and Kedusha and Tahara. So let us begin with the Tfilah Al Hadibur, please. Ribono shel olam, yi ratzon afanach arachem v'chanan shetezekeni hayim uvechal yom lishmar piyu lishoni milashon hara v'chilis. Ve'azarim l'dabar filo al ish yachid v'kol shekein al kol yisrael o achelik mekem. V'kol shekein mil yisrael amidoso shal kol shbarach ve'azarim l'dabar divrei sheker chanufa mecholkes ka askaiva onas dvarim halbanas panim leitzanas v'chol dibur aser v'zakeni shelo l'dabar kim dabar hatzarich l'inyanei gufi v'nafshi yu kol ma'asai v'diburai l'shem shemai. May we are learning as Chos Aliyah Neshama, Lilu Nishmas Tfi Gershom Ben Yoav Vachana Alav Hashem, Shem Shel Aliyah, and the merit of our learning. Also, with your permission, a Refuah Shleim for Baruch Avigayah, Basra Chadita, Basoch Shear Chalei Yisrael. Interesting, we say in the Tefillah Al Hadibur that we daven that we should not speak Lashon Hara about other people. Good morning. We should not speak Lashon Hara about other people. And we should also not speak badly. So when we look at the life of Yosef HaTzadik, and I recall actually we spoke about it last year more in detail, I think, in this class. I wasn't planning to go into detail about it again, but in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, which is last week's Parsha. Do you remember? I think we spoke about it last year more in depth. And just a nekuda, what's interesting is that, and these are the offspring of Yaakov. Yosef was 17 years old. He would hang out with the sons of the Shvachos. Vayava Yosef esti basam ra al avihem. Yosef brought bad reports about them, dibasam ra, bad reports to their father. And Rashi explains that he saw things in the brothers that he misunderstood. Kol ra ashahaya ro be'achav b'nei lehaya magid la'aviv. That's what Rashi says. Every bad thing he saw in the son, in his brothers, the sons of Leah, he would tell his father. So instead of approaching them and saying, maybe we could work it out, I don't understand what you're doing, could you explain it to me? He thought they were eating a limb from a detached limb from a live animal, and therefore mida kenegad mida, they dipped his coat in goat's blood. He thought that they were calling the sons of the Shvachos Avadim, making fun, zilzu horumar, making fun. Onas dvarim halbanas panim would be in those categories to the sons of the Shvachos, calling them avadim, thank you so much. And therefore he was sold as an eved, measure for measure. And finally, a third example, Rashi says this, he thought that they were doing inappropriate things with women, and therefore who chanced upon him and who stuck out her tentacle, so to speak, to try and ensnare him, Ashes Potiphar. And of course, this Lashon Hara is one of the factors that led to Argalus. The brothers do not like him. They don't like that he's a tattletale, so to speak. So we have to, when we have misunderstanding and when we don't understand what our fellow man is doing, so one of the approaches that we could do is try and discuss it with them, as opposed to taking it up with somebody else, because taking it up with somebody else only causes the machlokas to increase and leads to such negativity. But what's interesting about Yosef HaTzadik is Kol Shekein L'Yisrael Amidos of Shal Kol Shebaruch Hu. He never wondered about the Midos of Hashem, and he never said, look what Hashem did to me, and he never spoke Lashon Hara, so to speak, Kaviyach, as if it were possible, about God. It really is well, because when you look at the life of Yosef HaTzadik, it's not such an easy life. And you know, but he doesn't complain. It's really like an unbelievable thing. Everything is Baruch Hashem, you know, Limchia Shalchani Hashem, to Paro, he says, Biladai, Elokim Ya'aneh Shalom Paro, this is Paro Shemikate. So he's called out from prison. He's rushed up from the pit, and Paro says, I heard about you, they interpret dreams. And anyway, he says, it's not me who interprets dreams. Hashem interprets dreams. Shem Shemai Ra, Shem Shemai Ra, she famously says, Shagar B'fiv. We're always talking about Hashem. So an unbelievable aspect of the godless of Yosef HaTzadik, because he understands that everything that happens in his life, what? Aval Amuna. Everything in his life that happens is from Hashem. And he doesn't speak negatively about it. It's a strong, Mr. Haskell to us, a very, very strong lesson to have such a high level of Amuna, to never speak badly over the ways, so to speak, of a Kosh Baruch. It's one of the things that we actually daven for in the Tefillah Dibra. And Yosef was able to enumerate that. And even at the end of his life, when he finally reunites with the brothers, and he has lost so much time with them, he's apart from father for 22 years. But we don't see any animosity, not only vis-a-vis the brothers, but vis-a-vis the Rosh Olam. And sometimes Life's nisyonos are very difficult, and we can have a tendency, I'm not saying we do, but sometimes to look up at Hashem and, so to speak, take our complaints that way, and what are you doing? Yosef understood everything was from Hashem, and that he was part of Jewish destiny, and he had a personal destiny and a national destiny, and this is how it was supposed to be. So it's really high, high level. It's not for naught that his last name is Tzaddik. Okay, page 78, please. Questions or comments on that? Okay, so other than that, because we spoke about last year, I didn't think we were going to talk about the story of Yosef so much. That's it. Good. Okay. Top of page 78. Let's just start from the beginning. I mentioned to Alyssa, I'm very, very sorry, Chatasi. Not by my own fault. We lost last time Shir, so I wasn't able to post the line. I told Alyssa something so cute. Yonatan. The kids were really trying to tell me, figure out why I couldn't get the Shir until we figured out it was a whole to do until we finally figured out the problem. Yonatan was so cute. He says, "You could tell it to me again, Mommy." Oh, it was so cute. It was very cute. Okay, top of page 78. Vazepe Rashdi Masha Anu Amrim. And this is, so we're starting from the top of the page, and this is how we will explain what we've said, what we say. We say, Avinu Malkeinu, good morning, Kalei Kol. We're just reviewing again, okay? One paragraph of review, Kalei Kol Tsar Masdi Me'aleinu. You should remove or cease to be al Tsar. A Tsar is an oppressor, Tsar Va'oyev, Umasdin, and a prosecutor from upon us, Va'anu Chozim Umvakshim. And then again, we say, Avinu Malkeinu, Stone Pios, Mastinenu, Makachugenu, Hashem. You should cause the mouth of those who claim and prosecute against us. If you look at the word mastinene, you see the shorosh satan. You should cause the satan, the ones who claim and prosecute against us, to close their mouth. So the first thing we ask is that the prosecutors and the enemies and those who speak against us should be totally finished. So if we ask for them to be entirely annihilated, then why are we asking for Hashem to close their mouths? Obviously, if they're annihilated, they have no mouths to open. So what kind of tefillah is that? Allah ha'anin, but the matter is as follows. At times, we don't have such high zuchusim, sheyichu ha-mastinim legamri, that it's not really enough. We can't cause the satan, mastinim, the satan, the prosecutor against us, to be totally finished. It's not, we don't have enough zuchusim. Anuvivakshim, so therefore, I'm in the top paragraph on page 78. Anuvivakshim, sh'al kol panim yistambim. So therefore, we ask, even if we don't have enough merits for it to be destroyed, the bad decree against us, Chalila, the bad prosecutor, at least close his mouth. Shelo yichlu the davar, they should not be able to speak. V'hine yadua, and it is known, Shahan hagas Hashem yisparach imida b'mida. The actions of Hashem, so to speak, are mida k'nega mida. We just saw three examples of that in Rashi, right? Yosef, we just began this year by quoting that. Yosef says that they were calling the B'nai Shvach slaves. So Yosef was sold as a slave. Yosef said they were eating Abram Menachaylim from a live animal, so they dip his coat into the blood of an animal, and Yosef said they're being inappropriate with women, and Ashes Potiphar therefore cast her tentacles on him. That's Mida Kenega Mida. What does it mean? Measure for measure. The way in which you measure somebody else, that's how heaven will measure you. Imha Adam Kovacious Peev. So if a man is able to be Kovacious Peev, doesn't say to totally get rid of your mouth. You don't want to get rid of your mouth. You need it. You know, I was thinking when I was preparing that why is something that is so used all the time and so necessary for our existence, not only in terms of speech, in terms of eating. It's another way to breathe. If somebody has a clogged nose, you can breathe through your mouth. It's such an essential aspect of living in terms of eating, in terms of drinking, in terms of breathing, in terms of speaking. Why are we so, it's a rhetorical question. I don't know. I didn't have an answer that. Why is this organ of the body, which is so vital for so many functions, such a nechshal, presents such a pothole. What am I trying to say? It's so easy to stumble with this, which is so essential. Why?
But it's everything we have.
I don't know.
But it's everything we have like that.
Okay, what do you mean?
Even think of gashmias. It can enhance our lives amazing, and it can destroy our lives. So many things that are good to us, if we use them in the wrong way, can destroy us.
Okay, that's true.
But I think more so, remember what you said the last time in the shiur?
Wait, start again, please.
Last time when we had the shiur, you said, would you leave your door wide open? And that's what our mouth is all about. How we have to put gates on our mouth for so many reasons.
Right, it's true. We said that last time. But when there's, we didn't say it, but the Chafetz Chaim says when there's robbers in town, you need to make sure to close the door. So what he was saying is, when the Yetzer Hara is around, make sure to close the door, close your mouth. It's true, but the mouth is used for so many more functions than other organs. I don't know.
So then you would think because it's used so much more, you have even more chances to stumble.
That's right.
Because your Yetzer Hara is in front of you so much more. Every time you open your mouth. Your Yetzer Hara is challenged so many times. Every time you pick up the phone to talk to a friend, you really have to be conscious to take a deep breath and say, okay, I'm going to make sure this conversation is going to go the right way. It's such potential to do it wrong. Every time you speak to your child, you have to...
So I'm thinking of something based on what you said. It's not only every time you speak to your child or to your friend on the phone. What about when you pick up a cup of water? The mouth is saying the bracha, so it gives you permission to partake of that water. So once again, you have to be cognizant of what's going to come. You know, sometimes you take a drink and then you say, did I make a bracha or didn't I make a bracha? So it's not, and the Gemara says in a bracha, so I believe 35, Amen, hey, that one who drinks, who eats without saying a bracha, it's like he took from Hekdesh, he took from the Holy, it's like he stole from Hashem. So it's not only when you're speaking to somebody else. It's any time you open your mouth, you have to be cognizant of what is about to come out and also what's about to go in. Frightening.
Your mouth is really, I think, almost the essence of how your day goes.
It's interesting.
You can wake up in a bad mood. Your alarm went off 20 minutes late and your child missed the bus because you didn't get out of bed or whatever. You can wake up screaming at everybody and everyone's going to have a lousy day. Or you can take it with humor and let what comes out of your mouth the challenges.
So you're saying it sort of sets the tone? Okay, interesting. So we spoke about this pasuk last time, and Chavetz Chaim is going to quote it again very much. And that is, I'm relating to what you said, when Cain, right before he kills Heva, so Hashem comes to him and he says, hello, im teitiv se'es, is not, if you do good, you will be forgiven. Ve'im lo se'etiv, and if you do not, la patach chatas rovetz, sin crouches at the door. Rashi says there, this is the HR. We're going to go back to this pasuk in today's shir also, because the Chavetz Chaim quotes it again. Ve'elecha tishuka, so its longing is towards you, the longing of the HR is towards you, ve'ata tim shobo, but you can rule over it if you so desire. I believe it's from Rabbi Pesach Kron, about quite a while ago, but I believe so. La petach, petach, we're talking so much about the opening. Petach is also the door to your house. La petach chatas rovates, at the opening to your door, sin crouches. So I'm relating to what you just said. Rabbi Pesach Kron, I believe I'm quoting B'Shem Amma, writes, before a person goes through the front door of his house, he has to ruin his Yetzer Hara. Wow, person had a hard day. You're talking about when you start the day in the morning. What about when you come home? Work is over, and you had a hard day, and this went wrong in the office, and that went wrong in the office, and you didn't finish your errands, and the store didn't have what you want, and you didn't have time to make supper, and you're behind in the laundry, okay? So it's not only in the morning, so that's la petach, so you're waiting at the front door to open the door. Chatas rovet, so you should know, says Rabbi Kuhn, that's exactly where sin crouches. Right before you're ready to open the door to your house, that's when you have to rein it in. Because the same thing that you said about the morning, your kids missed the bus, your alarm went off late, you can either scream at him, so too when you come home. All those frustrations of the day, that's where the Yetzer Hara is crouching. He's ready to jump up and attack. So, ve'elecha tishuka, so its longing is towards you. Ve'ata timshaba, you can rule over it. So I think it's very impactful the way you said it, that the whole day we can say is determined by the mouth. It's our connection to Hashem. Wait. Maybe also that's another aspect of the mouth. Speech is our connection between Adam l'Makom, and speech is our connection between Adam l'Chaveiro. The same mouth connects us to Hashem. Brachos, Tefillah, Tehillim, Kiddush Hashem, and the same mouth connects us to our fellow man. So really, the whole essence of our avoda is symbolized in the mouth. We have dual aspects of avoda.
I think even when you call somebody about shidduchim about somebody, the first thing they'll say is, oh, they're quiet, they're loud.
Interesting. You mean also, that's from the mouth.
That's from the mouth. That's how you represent yourself. Oh, she's a soft-spoken person. Oh, she's very harsh. So that, how do you represent yourself really is not just how you carry yourself, but also how you speak.
Okay. So let's go on. Anything else? It's all true. Okay, so what we're asking is, oh, mida kenega mida, that's the last thing we said. Im adam kovish es piv bisha'as meriva shelo ledaber. If a man is able to conquer, this is the last thing we said, not to, you don't want to ruin your mouth, you don't want to destroy your mouth, chas v'sham. You want to be kovish, you want to rein it in, or rule over it, bisha'as meriva, in the time of machoka shelo ledaber, that you should not speak. Gam lamala, so therefore, mida kenega mida in the heavenly realm, so same hakosh baruch hu pi hamakachugim shelo lahastino. So then, and if you manage to close your mouth in the time of the quarrel, in the time of a meriva, so Hashem closes the mouths of the prosecutors that they should not act as the Satan against you. So I wanted to just quote from Rabbi Tzim Kanievsky, Allah HaShalom. Zecher Tzadeikas Levracha. Okay. So, 1 second. Okay, so this is her sensitivity to other people. Bina, it's in quotes, which means it's not her real name, was a girl with a stuttering problem, and she was speaking to the Rabbitson. A visiting relative was imitating Bina in the presence of the Rabbitson and right in front of Bina herself. So Bina has the speech impediment. She's talking to Rabbitson Kanievsky, and this other girl is mamish imitating her to the Rabbitson, and the Rabbitson became very agitated and motioned to her relative to stop right away. And she didn't stop. She continued imitating the girl. The Rabbitson cried out, "Stop embarrassing her." She hugged Bina. She brought him to the bedroom. She spent a long time talking to her, and she was crying. And the Rabbitson said, "It must be so hard to deal with people making fun of you when you stutter. I'm so sorry you were embarrassed in my home." She contacted them, various doctors and therapists, to find out who would be qualified to help this girl with her speech impediment. That's one story I wanted to tell you. So again, the sensitivity that this girl with her mouth was mocking this other girl. It's so interesting, by the way, that Bina herself had a speech impediment, which led to someone else mocking that impediment. There was another occasion which the Rabbitson really lost her composure. One summer morning, a group of secular Israeli girls came to daven nates in the Letterman Shul and to speak with the Rabbitson after davening. One of the girls was dressed in a non-tznistic fashion, and they were walking the Rabbitson home after davening. A bachar who was learning in one of the nearby yeshivas noticed the girls' inappropriate attire and began screaming at the girl. And he said, "Shame on you, exclamation mark. Go back to Tel Aviv where you belong, exclamation mark. How dare you come to Bnei Brak dressed like this?" He screamed at her. The startled Rabbitson looked at the boy. "Who asked you to open your mouth? Have you no shame?" she said, "that you are mabim pnei chaveiro berabim." You're embarrassing somebody in public, which is one of the things that we daven for in here. Habanas panim ve'azahar miladaber. And we know in last week's parasha, Tamar, we learned something astounding from Tamar. Besides the many astounding things we learn from Tamar, one of the things we learn is when she's being taken out to be burned, she's the daughter of Shem, al-Kitzadek, Kohen, and a Kohen's daughter who's suspected of adultery must be burned. So Yehuda says, "Take her out to be burned." When it's found out that she's pregnant, they tell him, "Your daughter-in-law is pregnant by harlotries, nunim," and she does not say publicly that, you know, whose child this is. She sends him his signet ring and his cape and his staff, and she says, "Whoever these belong to, that's who I am pregnant by. Tzadkami many, she is more righteous, me many," says Rashi, "she is pregnant from me." But Rashi says, "Rashi, you know, she's going on to be burned. Why didn't she just say, stop the procession, hold the fire, I could tell you who did it." Raj says there, it's better for a person to be thrown into a kivshan ha'esh, and in this situation, that is literally, she was about to be thrown into the fiery furnace, than to embarrass his friend in public. Imagine. We don't imagine. We're not careful enough with what comes out of our mouth, whether it's vis-a-vis the Ribono Shel Olam, ben adam ha'makom, or whether it's vis-a-vis ben adam ha'chaveru.
What's this guy looking at those girls?
I didn't say.
Why is this guy looking at the girls?
That's another good question. Let's go back to the story. So the Rabbitson, this book also actually says, the startled Rabbitson shouted back at the boy, "Who asked you to open your mouth? Have you no shame? You are mabim pnei chaveir berabim. You are insulting someone. Is that how you give tochacha?" And then the Rabbitson said, "I will tell you something I have never told any of the many, many people who frequent my home. You are the only person not welcome to come and visit." It's page 261 in the biography. "If you do come to my house, I will tell you what I have never told anyone before. You must leave my house." Meanwhile, the Rabbitson hugged and comforted the secular girl. She was so distraught by what happened that this girl was embarrassed and yelled it in public. She went into the room where Rav Chaim, her husband, Shita, was about to begin learning with Rav Eliyahu Mann. She began crying. "Is it possible I did an aveira?" she said, "which caused this bachar to act that way in front of me. She spent 5 minutes crying for the rest of the day. She was so upset that this girl who came to her for chizuk had been publicly insulted. So she really was someone who obviously at her level understood that every word has such impact and power, and that it is better to be thrown into the kibshan eish than to insult someone else in public. And you have to try to remember, very difficult. Okay, page 78, second paragraph. Ubezeh peirashdi masha ma'akash baruch hu l'kayin, see, he goes back to, he spoke about it last week, he spoke about it this week, it's going to be on the next page. Also, ubezeh peirashdi masha ma'akash baruch hu l'kayin, lama charalach, why are you angry? V'im lo seitiv l'petachatas rovitz, we just quote this pasuk, he gives you the source, it's in Perek Dalet. If you don't improve, so you should know, sin crouches at the door, crouches at the entrance of your heart. We quote a Pesach Kron who says it crouches to the entrance of the door of your house. Hainu, im lo tispon in the shuv mechon apcha, if you do not pay attention to remove the wrath from upon you, ulehetiv machshav osecha, and to improve your thoughts, teda, you should know, shal pitche picha rovet hachatas. This is what you were really saying, you know, the alarm went off 20 minutes late, the kids missed the bus, you haven't packed the lunches, you have to get to work, the whole morning's going from bad to worse. And then what often happens? Where does the anger come forth from? Lepischei picha, at the entrance to your mouth, that's where sin crouches. Hainu, hayetzer hara. Who's crouching there? The evil inclination, which is what Rashi says on the pasuk as well. Rovecham, the evil inclination is crouching there. Lahachaticha bedivrei matzah umeriva, to cause you to sin with matzah umeriva. So this is very interesting that he uses the word matzah umeriva here. What does matzah bring to our mind? Matzah, I mean, what does matzah bring to our mind? Matzah. So it's translated as, matzah is actually translated as controversy, argumentation and controversy. I thought it was a very, you could say, b'divrei machloka sumeriva, matzah riva. So when I read matzah riva, what comes to mind is Rav Lau Shlita, of Yisrael Meir Lau. It's a beautiful interpretation in his Haggadah. If you could get the Haggadah, I highly recommend it. I think that it's out of print. It's very hard to get. It's the Passover Haggadah, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau. It's very beautiful, around the Seder table. So, because he says matzah umeriva, this is what comes to my mind. An inside of Rav Lau. So, we begin the Seder with Kadesh Urchatz Karpas Yachatz. We know that. So, he says the order for the Seder is the order for one's life, Rav Lau says. One can derive a moral lesson. We're going to say a Kadesh Urchatz, we go through the order of the Seder. One can derive a moral lesson from the order of the Seder. Not only for Pesach, he says, but for the entire year. So, the order of the Seder is how a Jew should live his whole life. Kadesh Urchatz, Kiddush, washing. God says to man, if you want lihit kadesh, if you want to sanctify yourself, you must wash. Urchatz. You must clean your hands from extortion and from theft. As the pasuk says in Tehillim, mi ya'ala bahar Hashem, mi yakum b'makam kadsho neki kapayim uvar levav. He who is clean of hands ascends to the house of God. So kadesh urchatz. If you want to be holy, make sure you clean yourself. You are washed. You are holy. Karpas yachatz. Karpas is to dip. And yachatz is to divide. God says to man, even if you're not wealthy, and even if you're not a person of means, and even if all you have is some karpas, you have a little bit of potato or celery or radish, and only a little bit of salt water, you don't even have meat or fish, nevertheless, yachatz, you have to divide the little bit that you have and share with someone who is less fortunate than you. Magid rachza, magid is to tell, rachza is to wash. Not only must you be honest, but you must recite, tell. Magid, tell this to your family and to all those over whom you have influence. Magid rachza, let people know that they too have to be sanctified by washing. Teach them they should wash their hands and keep away from dishonesty. Motzi matza. So matzah, if we just on the Chavetz Chaim, matzah means argumentation and strife. So what do you think motzi matzah means? Motzi, lahotzi, to take something out. Matzah, so what does it mean?
Take out
strife, remove strife. Motzi matzah. Matzah can also mean strife, right? So that I'm reading from the Haggadah. Figuratively, therefore, motzi matzah means remove all strife. And you have to work to maintain peace and quiet. Marar korech, shulchan arech. Marar is bitter, korech is a sandwich, shulchan arech is arrange the meal. Even if your life is unpleasant and wrapped with bitterness, marar, wrapped as a sandwich, be sure to fulfill your duties as a Jew as formulated in the shulchan arech. Marar korech, even if your life is wrapped, you have a bitter wrap for a lunch, nevertheless, shulchan arech, you still have to live as a Jew. Tzafun is hidden, Baruch is blessed. It is God who is hidden. It is Him who we have to thank and bless for whatever happens to us. Tzafun Baruch, whether we feel it is good or bad. Hallel Nirtza, praise all accepted. We must praise Hashem, even if we are enveloped in bitterness, and that is most accepted praise of all in Hashem's eyes. Isn't that beautiful?
I'd love to photocopy that.
It's a great. Rabbi Yisrael, it's put up by Yedioth Books. Yedioth Achronot Chemer Books. I don't know if it's still available. It's really very nice. Many, many such nice stories and insights from Rulau. And obviously his life experience lends itself to tremendous learning experience for all of us. Okay, so that's what I thought of. And it says Matzu Meriva, Motzi Matzu, which is really what the Chavetz Chaim is saying here. Umizat tu chalavoli de tzar gadola. And you should know that if you don't rein in, if you're not Motzi Matzu, then you can come to tzar gadola, great, great trials, strifes, tribulation. And in the end, ultimately, what happened? Chaim could not rein in. Hashem warned him. Hashem said, if you improve and do good, you will be forgiven. And if not, excuse me, you will not be forgiven. In the end, what happened? He couldn't stop. And the very next words are, Vayomer Kain al Hevel Achiv. And Kain said to Hevel his brother. And we noted last time, I believe, it doesn't even say what he said to Hevel his brother. It just says, and he said, when they were in the field, and he gets up and he kills them. So it's just a poison speech. You understand? It's not even, you don't even need to know what he said. It's that because the speech was poisoned in the first place, whatever would have come out of his mouth was negative. That negative speech led to Mamish Hariga, Vayomer Kain al Hevel Achiv, and Kain said to his brother, stop, we don't know what. When they were in the field, Vayakom Kain al Hevel Achiv, Vayahargei, he gets up and he kills him. And from there, the situation led from more and more. So what the Chavetz Chaim is saying is, look at this example. Vayomer, speech actually led to murder. Kal hadvarim, the summation of the matter is, top page 80, tzarich adam leida, man must know, shayetzer hara oriv lo tami lahachtio, oriv is to ambush. The yetzer hara constantly lays in ambush, always tamid. The guy you're saying, you shouldn't think there's a time when he is calm, when he is at rest. Even when he's in at rest, he's going to go on to explain the next paragraphs. Even when he's at rest, it's really so that you won't be on guard. So Yetzer Hara is never off duty. Even when he's calm, it's so that you should put down your defense. And when you put down your defense, what happens? He springs into action. You should know that the Yetzer is miskaber. He's a gibor over you. He's a warrior over you, and he renews himself every day. So what I want to actually do is quote from the Gemara inside. Kedushin, Lamed. Right, so the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis, to on the Braisa, V'samtem. When do we say V'samtem? Estvara Elavavchem from Shema, Perikir Aleph of Devarim. This is what we call as the second paragraph of Shema. V'samtem. So you shall place these words. V'samtem estevrai ela alavavchem val nafshchem. You should place these words on your heart and on your soul. But v'samtem, the Gemara says, it can be broken down into sam-tam. Sam is like potion. Tam is pure. So into the most pure portion. V'samtem estevrai ela. These words of Torah can be the sam-tam, the perfect portion. Nimshala Torah kisam chayim. The Torah is compared to a potion of life, mashal, it is a mashal, adam shehikas b'no maka gdola. It's a mashal to a man who dealt his son a great blow. V'hiniach lo ritia al makaso. So then after the father dealt his son a great blow, he gives him a compress upon his wound. And he said to him, b'ni, kos men sheha ritazu al makascha. All the while that this compress is on your wound, you could eat what you want to eat, you could drink what you want to drink, you can take a bath, whether it's hot water or cold water, you don't have to be afraid. So the compression that you are putting on the wound protects you from everything. Rashi says there, what do you mean? You could eat whatever you want to eat. Kol ma shadatcha nos nocha imenu. Whatever your mind wants to eat. Vafilu dvash, even sweet things. Vakol mine metika shakashu mamaka. Even sweet things like honey that are bad for the wound, you could eat them. So as long as you keep the wound covered, you could do whatever you want. So it's obviously not like a band-aid that's going to fall off. It's a true compress, and it will protect you from all harm. V'im atam avira, but if you take off this compress, harehi malanomi, your wound will start to fester and give forth boils. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar lahem l'Yisrael. What's the nimshal? The Almighty says to Bnei Yisrael, Benai, my son, barasi yetzer hara, you probably heard this mamar chazal before, I created the yetzer hara, v'arasi lo Torah tavlin, and I created the Torah, which is a spice or an antidote to the HR. So what is the wound that keeps us the wound is the HR, and what is the compress that keeps us protected? When you have the compress on the HR, the wound cannot do anything to you. What is that? Barasi lo HR. I create the HR, the inclination. Basu Torah Tavlin, the Torah adds spice. Vim Atam Oskin Batorah, and if you involve yourselves in Torah, Ein Atam Nimsarim Biyadu, you will not be given over to the hand of the HR. And then listen to this, Shanemar, Halo im Teitiv Seis. The Gemara then quotes from Kayev, if you do good, you will be forgiven. V'im ein ata oskin b'Torah, and if you do not, or if you're not osik in Torah, atem nimsar b'yado, you will be given over into the hands of the Yitzhar. Shen ne'amar, la'patach chatas rovitz. As the Pasuk says in Gevar to Kayin, at the entrance, and we've given different meanings of at the entrance, we had our thoughts on what it means, the power of life lies in the mouth. We quote a Pesach Kron, we quote the Pesukim, we quote a Rashi, we quote the Chavetz Chaim. Now the Gemara brings this Pasuk also, and the Gemara says, halo im teitiv se'ez, if you do good, you will be forgiven. If you keep your wound covered, you are protected from everything. On the other hand, if you're not Osek and Torah, you will be given into the hands of the inclination, as the Pasuk says, sin crouches at the door. Not only that, but all the pursuits of the evil inclination, masu matan, is like business. All the business of the Yetzer is concerns you. As the Pasuk says, quoting from Kayin, its longing is toward you. So the whole masu matan, the whole business dealing of the Yetzer is one thing. What's his whole job? Me. I. However, Shenemar, Ata Tim Shobo. So the Gemara really goes through the Pesukim, the Pasuk that we've been discussing the past 2 weeks. Nevertheless, if you want, you can conquer, as the Pasuk says, and you will rule over the Yetzer. Furthermore, the Gemara continues, Kasha Yetzer Hara, how bad, how heavy, how strong is Yetzer Hara? Shafilu Yotro Karara. Even the creator of the Yetzer Hara calls it. What do we call the Yetzer Hara? Ra. Even the creator, who's the creator? The Ribbono Shel Olam calls the Yetzer Hara Ra. Shenemar ki Yetzer Lev Adam Ra Minura. Because the Pasuk says it's also from Bereishis, by the way. The Pasuk says after the flood, Hashem sees the Yetzer Lev Adam Ra Minura. The Yetzer, the inclination of the heart of man, is bad from his youth. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak Yetzer Shel Adam Mischadesh Ale B'chol Yam. Mischadesh, that's important words. Yetzer shel Adam mitchadesh, mischadesh al b'chayim. What does that mean? He never gets tired. He's new. He's fresh for the battle. Every day. We get tired. We get weary. Why do we end up speaking Lashon Hara ultimately? Because you think you're going to resolve when you pick up the phone and when you wake up late and haban espanim and they tell you everything's going to be good, but you become tired. Yetzer Hara wears you out. It's a hard battle. What does the Mishnah say? Izu gibar kovish is Yetzer. That one who is kovish is Yetzer is stronger than a warrior, says the Mishnah there. You become tired. The Yetzer Hara is never tired. He is mischadesh b'chol yam. He's new. He's fresh. He's been charged overnight. He's plugged in and he's ready to go. Abrach, oy, Yetzer Shadim Mischadish al b'chol yam. Shenemar rak rak kol hayam. He is evil all day. V'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. So how can you overcome? How could you overcome if he's new every single day, and he has the same strength every single day, and he never gets old, and never gets weak, and he never gets powerless, and he never feels overcome? He never gets frustrated. He has so many different tactics. Like I told you, Chavetz Chaim is going to say that even when he's quiet, you should be nervous. Why is he quiet? He's quiet to trick you into complacency. He's quiet because when he gets quiet, you let down your guard, says the Chavetz Chaim. When you let down your guard, that's when he jumps in. Perfect. He vanished in. So if you're waiting for him when he's so strong, he changes his tactics. He's always changing his tactics. So what should we do? How could you ever overcome this one who's mechadish every single day? Even Hashem calls him Ra. Yitzo Shadam Iskabra al Bechal Yam, Yam, Vayam, Bechal Yam, and Vakesh Amiso. The Yitzo of the man is Miskaber Lov, new word. First it was Mischadish, says Rabbi Yitzchak, now Rabbi Shimon Ben Levi says he is Miskaber. So Mischadish means he's new every day, and Miskaber means he has new strength every day. Miskaber, like a Gibor, he's a new Gibor, courageous every day. Shanemar, as the Pasuk says in Telem, Tzofer Rasha Letzadik, Umevakesh Lahamiso. Tzofer Rasha Letzadik. The Rasha gazes upon the righteous person, Umevakesh Lahamiso. It's from Tehillim. Paraglamid Zion. The Rasha gazes upon the righteous and wants to kill him. Ve'amale Koshbarchu Ozro Enu Yachala. You know how you're successful? What do you have to do? Hashem, you created me. You created Yitzhar. I don't want to be a negative person. I don't want to be a screaming mother. I don't want to be the person who comes home from work and lets the sin in at the door. I don't want to be the one who talks about the shirach and all of a sudden the first thing that's coming out is Lashon Hara, that's not for toss. I don't want to be this person. So what do you say? You should know that the power to overcome comes from above. Siyu Eloki, divine assistance. Hashem lo yazvena biyado. As the pasuk continues in that capital of Tehillim, the first pasuk in Tehillim, capital Lamed Zayin, says, "Tzofer Rasha letzadik umevakesh lahamiso." He's gazing at you and he wants to kill you. But then the next pasuk says, "Hashem lo yazvena biyado." You should know that Hashem, if you want to improve, Hashem will not leave you in His hands. Leave you in His hands. Yeah. Furthermore, says the Gemara, "Bini impaga becha minuval zeh." If this minuval, if this repulsive one, if this bad one, if the Yetzer Hara engages you, if he meets you, Mashchei lebeis medrash. How should you get rid of the Yetzer Hara? What should he do? Go learn Torah. Impaga becha menuvazah. If this wicked one ensnares you, Mashchei lebeis medrash. What should he do? Take him to the beis medrash. I think that's all I wanted to. Why take him to the beis medrash? It's so true. Because when you learn, you have renewed koach to once again be strong against them. We learn things and we want to be better and we will be better, and it gives us the koach to renew ourselves. Okay, let's just finish this paragraph and then we'll go to the sefer. Okay, so Kamosha Amru Chazal, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin Lamed, which we just looked at. I'm in the top paragraph on page 80. Hayetzer har miskaber alav mitchadish al bechal yam. Now he's just paraphrasing the Gemara, which we looked at inside. Okay, the Yetzer har is strong over you and renewed against you every day, as the pasuk says in Tehillim. We just spoke about this. The Rasha gazes at the tzaddik. Sofa is like not just glancing. It means gazing to ensnare. Like if you see the lion on the plains of the Masai Mara when he's ready to go in for the kill. So he crouches down low and he hides in the grass and he lies in ambush and his eyes are tuned and his ears are tuned and his whole being is tuned on the prey. He's waiting for the exact right moment to jump. Doesn't just mean the Yetzer Hara is like taking a casual look and he looks, Sofa, you're in his scope the whole day. You should know where he's exactly crouching at the entrance to your mouth to cause you to sin. As the pasuk says, we quoted this already. The sin crouches at the entrance. Kisham im yasiach adam dato ktsas meshriya. Hesach adas means to remove your mind. That's Dulandage in the 90s. You shouldn't have hesach adas from churban beis hamikdash. So if man removes his thoughts, even a little bit, even for a moment, from being on guard, tekef yavuz oso biza rabo biza zuta. At that moment, the enemy will spoil, will plunder. Either he'll get a lot of spoils from you, you spoke an hour with of Lashon Hara, or a little bit of spoils. You spoke one sentence of Lashon Hara, but at that moment, I'll call upon him, lo yetzim imenu bishal. At that moment, when he pounces, you should know he's not going to leave you alone in peace. This isn't like, you know, an amicable parting over here. Va'alkein mischazek hayetzer lios ravusham yoser mishar evarim. And for this reason, he is mischazik. Yetzer Hara is strengthened to crouch there. Now he addresses what we addressed in the beginning of our shiur today, more than in any of the other limbs. It's so easy to cause us to be nichshel. But once again, it goes back to two things. The mouth represents both aspects of our avodas Hashem. It represents bein adam lechaveru, and it also represents bein adam lemakom. Kisham bilshono alum ba'al dachto. Because there, with his mouth, you are really likely to come to sin. Okay. Like, I'm thinking about the other organs, like with your nose. I know we discussed sense of smell before. You can't really sin bein adam lechaveru with your nose. I mean, you could bring me exceptions to the rules, but bedarach kal, that's not the organ of sin. Right? Bein adam lechaveru. Yeah, you could serve Hashem with all your organs, with all your body parts, with your eyes. You could sin bein adam lechaveru with your eyes. You could roll your eyes when someone comes in. Rashi says, the meal of winking. But the majority of sin bein adam lechaveru occurs where? With the mouth. Because we don't go around hitting people with our hands. I mean, yes, some people do. We don't go around hitting people with our hands. And maybe you roll your eyes, but the majority of sin really comes from where? Yeah, so we can either build up our relationship through the mouth or destroy it, both with man and with Hashem. And that's why the Chavetz Chaim is saying this is where the Yetzer Hara crouches more than in any other organ. Because he knows he's not going to make us, you're not going to go smacking people, you're just not. I'm talking about the people here. We're not going to do that. So, but why do we look at Lashon Hara as any less of a smack, or a bizayon, or zilzol, or leitzanus, or habanas panim, or kas, as any less of a smack than with the hand? I'm done to myself. Okay. Let's just do, any questions or comments?
No questions. The comment is it's frightening.
Very frightening. It really is. That's what we've said many times. We need this every day. Twice a month. It's very frightening. We have to try and take something tangible. You know, when I spoke, I don't know if I said it last time or not, but it wasn't online anyway, because like I mentioned, we lost last week's shiur, the recording of last week's shiur. So when I spoke in EULA, in the girls' high school in LA, not this past Friday, but the Friday before, so afterwards, one of the girls raised her hand, and she asked such an astute question. Did I say this here?
No.
Oh, okay, so I spoke to the 10th and 12th graders. It was a 15-minute talk. It was Baruch Hashem well-received. They were very interested in what we were learning. So one of the girls raised her hand after. I don't know if she was in the 10th grade or the 12th grade, but she asked such an astute and profound and mature question. And she said, you know, you hear a shiur, and you hear a lecture, and you hear a talk, and you're inspired. And she said, like, the next day, you forget, or maybe not the next day. You know, you think about it for a day or two, and then after, what about after? So I said to her, you asked such a geschmack, a really strong question. And I said that you need to choose one nekuda. It's not only for school students. That's right. I said you need to choose one nekuda and make concrete change with one action. Hold on to one thing that we learned about and start with one thing that's true for ourselves. So we don't have this every day. We have it every other week. Baruch Hashem, we have every week. And when we sit down and we learn, we're renewed and we're more mischazik. But we need to be mischazik and mischadish and negibar every day like the HR. We need to choose one nekuda, one moment that we will start with that avodah, not to condone speaking Lashon Hara the whole rest of the day, but at least start somewhere. Start with something. Because if we think we're going to change everything, that's going to happen. It's not possible to change for a human being to change everything quickly overnight. We start slow. And then when we conquer that aspect, let's say there's a specific person we know sets us off, or we don't talk nicely to that person, work on your relationship, that will be your avoda for the week. That will be your avoda for the day. That person. And then when you feel more confident, you can move on to something else. And it's true for us also. Okay, any questions or comments? So you start writing. Yes, you want to say something it looked like? No? Okay.
No, but what
yes.
You're saying is really the core, I think, of why people talk Lashon Hara. Because let's say you don't get along with somebody. Let's say somebody is just your menace in your side at work. So somebody comes up and tells you a bad thing about that person. It makes you feel better because you feel like, wow, you just proved my point as to why I don't like her. So you really have to look at the, when you think, like, what sets me off to speak Lashon Hara, if you look deeply, you'll probably see that by listening to it, it makes you not feel better, not the good better, but it makes you feel better because, you see, I was right to be righteous at her. You see, she did it to her also.
It gives you validation.
That's right. It gives you validation.
Negative validation.
Negative validation. So you really have to think very deep and hard and to realize and make yourself feel good a different way, not through
So we mentioned Yehuda, and that's part of the reason why Yehuda is Malchus, and he is on such a high pedestal. He's the one who was able to say, Tzadka, that I was wrong, and she was right. And it's a very, very hard madriga for a person to reach. We quote Rav Yisrael Salanter. Remember, we quote Rav Yisrael Salanter, he saw two school children fighting, and finally they were fighting about who's taller, or who's better. I'm not sure if you were here when we quoted this a few months ago, but it's important to relate again, in light of what you just said, that when Yisrael Salanter saw these two boys fighting, I'm taller, I'm stronger, I'm better. Finally, one boy pushed the other boy down, and he said, I'm taller. You remember? He said, I'm taller. So Rabbi Shlosser answered over and he said, if you want to feel taller than the other boy, you could stand on a stool and actually make yourself taller, not put somebody else down. Which I think relates very much to what we're saying. If we want to be better or taller or greater in our Avodas Hashem, so I have to move myself up, not what? For somebody else down in the process, which is really what Chaim, who the Chavetz Chaim is quoting in this chapter so extensively, did to Hevel. That's exactly what he did. He wasn't accepted by Hashem. He had a problem with God. So what did he do? Push somebody else down to make himself taller, but it never works. Informing. The second category of constructive purpose is to help those who are being adversely affected by the subject's behavior. So someone's being affected by this person's behavior. So you have to take action. If one has personally witnessed a Jew causing monetary damage to another, personally witnessed someone causing monetary damage, to bring about restitution is a constructive purpose. You have seen that person being damaged by the subject, and thus makes it permissible to relate what has transpired after ascertaining the facts are correct. And after having spoken with the perpetrator, which we mentioned, Yosef maybe should, I don't know, we weren't there, it's hard for us to say, but maybe should have spoken to the brothers. One must determine what will result from relating the information and whether halacha justifies effecting that result. So again, please ask a shayla before you do this. In a civilized society, the straightforward way of dealing with the crime is to inform the authorities. This is very interesting. My husband told me when we were in LA for the long weekend, so Rav Herschel Schlachter Shlita was there, and my husband heard him speak a couple of times over Shabbos. He was the Eskalon resident of Young Israel Century City. And my husband said that Rav Herschel Schlachter at one point was speaking about when somebody is moser, when he tells the authorities on another Jew. My husband said the Rashi almost started crying. He literally almost started crying. He became so choked up when he said, so how could somebody be a Moser? How could somebody tell a Jew to the authorities? He really almost was on the verge of tears. However, reporting one's fellow Jew to secular officials may result in punishment undeserved according to the Torah, which is why we're based in. Imprisonment, for example, is not an acceptable means of punishment for monetary infractions by Torah standards. Providing information that might lead to a Jew's imprisonment could therefore constitute malshinus, the act of being an informer. Malshin, notice again, informer malshin, lashon, that's right. Only if it is clear that an individual is dangerous and poses a threat to others can he be spoken about for the sake of protecting others from harm. So this is an important clue to keep in mind. If it's clear that he's dangerous and it's clear that he poses a threat, then he can be spoken about for the sake of protecting others. So that's very, something very important to keep in mind. Obviously, and I'm not going to get into it, I don't know enough to talk about it, we should never know, but with so many cases of sexual abuse, Rahman al that have come out in recent years in our community is something that we have to be aware of. Such matters are extremely sensitive and complex and demand consultation with a competent halachic authority. As we have said so many times, ask a shayla. We're going to stop because of the time. The next thing is initiating a din Torah. So again, but keep in mind, the last thing we said is extremely sensitive, complex matters. You must consult with a competent halachic authority. Monetary disputes, therefore, should be judged in a basin, a rabbinic court. And it is permissible to exert social pressure on an individual to get him to participate in bastion. However, social pressure that could cause embarrassment is not an option if the person is still in the category of amitecha, if he's still your fellow if he's still with you. A person who erroneously believes he is justified in taking someone else's money must be set straight. How could someone be erroneously believe he's justified in taking someone else's money? I'm not sure. But he's not a mummer. He's not a rebellious sinner. So in other words, he's saying he, for some reason, believes that he is justified. So that doesn't give you the permission to go tell on him or to embarrass him. Embarrassment is not a recourse. We spoke about Malbim Pnei Chaver Ben Rabin based on Tamar today. One may discuss the matter with others who can influence and explain to him there is a monetary dispute and you should be persuaded to come to Beis Din. So in that case, when you've tried to speak to him and he won't listen to you and he erroneously believes he is correct, you can speak to others to try and convince him to go to Beis Din. The Beis Din may publicize the fact the individual refuses to abide by its ruling or ignore the summons to appear before it. Okay, so we should be zochet to a lot of siyata d'shmaya. And the Hanukkah Licht, we light the candles and we see the holiness of the Ar of Torah, and the Ar of Chachma, and the Ar of Geula, and the Ar of Nisim v'Niflaus, we should be Zocha, we should really use that light to conquer the Yetzer, who is Mischadish and Miskaber every single day. But if we remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our side, and if we want to be good, we will be helped. So Be'ezras Hashem, we should so be Zocha. Siyu Eloki to divine assistance. Amen. Halavai. Anything else?
Line of work.
Alyssa, look this way so I could hear you, please.
In some people's line of work, it's also there's more of a Yetzer Hara to have speak Lashon Hara or be careful what Lashon Hara is and not. Like I know, like social work or counseling.
You mean in professions that lend itself more to speaking than
speaking,
other professions?
You must have like a very hard
time. Yeah, but even Alyssa, even working with little children, you'd be surprised how one teacher sometimes talks to another teacher.
Exactly.
You mean it's not for Alice nothing. It's literally
right. 100%. It's very wrong. You go to the gym, two teachers from two different classes, and they're talking about a student in a space.
Wow.
Definitely wrong.
You see how it affects every aspect of our lives. Okay, ladies.